the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord our God, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Well, I'd say there's a lot of different things in these Gospels. Being sure to take time to notice things around us, but more importantly, to notice God, who is within us and around us. And then to listen and to heed and to act from, to respond to the warnings, the commandments, all the information, the gifts that God has given us. And then also the help and the nurture that we receive from our God so that we can follow his commands and his will and his way. And then also there's a little bit about, especially like with Moses and further, to learn how to be content and trust in God more than we trust in ourselves when we're being called by God. It's God that will help us if we let him. So Moses, I just a little bit, I'm going to go through each reading. Moses, I love this because he's going along and he notices a burning bush. But the bush, what was so noticeable about it, was that the bush wasn't being consumed by the fire. The bush was just burning. And so Moses decided, well, I must turn aside. I need to take a moment and figure this one out, see what's up. He said, look at this great sight. And so then God noticed that Moses noticed. And then it began. And what's interesting is God is trying to teach Moses from the very beginning, be filled with respect when you're within my presence. And does anybody remember the Reverend Dr. Charles Reynolds? How he used to take his shoes off when he would come up for communion, and the first time he came up, oh, a couple of people were really worried and upset. I'm like, no. That's a sign of respect. In other countries, not in the United States, but in other countries, they take off their shoes as a sign of respect because they're entering into the Holy Land in their mind, or the holy ground where God is. And so when, as soon as I read this, I thought of him. But it's a sign of respect. But then with all that Moses knew and what he was going to learn, he was still afraid. Like, oh no, you want to send me back there? I'm a known wanted criminal. I don't really want to go back there. But what does God say? I will be with you. And that's all we need. God being present with us. That's all that all of us need. So Moses goes on and basically says, okay, I'll do it. I'll go. But then a little bit of control in here. Moses says, okay, but when I get there with, you know, with your people, the Israelites, and I tell them that your God sent me, what the heck am I supposed to say? They say, who sent me? And so Moses had to learn that, you know, he had to realize that God was his God as well. And he says, I am who I am. Don't ask any questions, just go. Trust in me. I'm the holy God, the one true God of Israel. And that included Moses. So Moses said yes. And God said, don't complicate things. Just go, listen to me, respect me, and do what I want you to do. And it worked. It worked. Also with Paul, towards the end, he explains to them, and you hear more about this in the gospel, and I love this gospel because of the two parts, the attitude and then the nurture of Christ. But we really have to be careful with our attitudes, with our thoughts, because even Paul warns, he says, so if you think you're standing, in other words, if you think you're perfect, if you think you're terrific and you're great, you may be pointing fingers at other people. He said, watch out, because you might fall down. So if we think we're standing, what we want to do, instead of being all puffed up, is be thanking God, because God is with us. and we're trying to follow him as best as we can. And it's not because we're so good, but it's because God is so faithful. So that's why we can be proud. Not in a conceited way, but in a holy way, because we're trying to allow God to use us, each and every one of us. And if you look at your life, and I'm not trying to build up everybody's head so they can't fill up, you know, can't file through the doors, but if you look at your life, maybe even in the last day, the last week, think of what you've done, quote unquote, for the brethren. What you have done for other people that will shine out Jesus' glory, that will shine out Jesus' way. Think of what you've done. If you can't, then take more time and think about it again. And if you still can't, then spend a little time and we can all ask God, okay, what more can I do that will help your people, that will help all of us bring others to Christ? And then here we have Christ. He tells us ourselves, don't have attitudes. And the Galileans that were slaughtered, Pilate had taken their blood and put it on pagan sacrifices, and that was the worst thing that could possibly happen. And so people would kind of gossip and say, well, that happened because they weren't perfect, or they didn't do this, or, well, they're not as good as I am, or, you know, their spiritual pride got in the way. And so Jesus was warning them, do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way that they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? Basically, Jesus says, not. That's not true. And then this is what Lent is all about. But unless you repent, so it's brought down to a personal commitment, but unless you repent, you're going to perish just as they did. And then he gives them another example. The tower, Siloam, fell on 18. And so people were saying, oh, that was God did that to them because they were so awful. Well, that's not true. And he says, do you think that they were worse offenders than all others living in Jerusalem? He's like, wake up. No, they weren't. It just happened. But unless you personally repent and change before the Lord your God, then all of us, them and us, we will suffer and perish too. We have a personal calling from God. We have a personal relationship with God. We are to be accountable and be honest with God and listen to Him and follow Him. And then what I like is this very last section where He tells the parable. Because even though He's not really harsh, but a little bit forthright and truthful in the beginning, He always softens it, but it's still very truthful. A man, and if you look at the man as God, the gardener as Jesus, it might help you out. Because that's how it helped me. A man had a fig tree planted in the vineyard and came looking for fruit. So God made all of us. And then the gardener is Jesus. And then the fruit is all of our good works for the Lord our God. And so Jesus is the gardener tending us all these years. And what God is saying is, but there's still no fruit. In other words, my people are still not bearing fruit for me, bringing all others to me. And then Jesus says, well, let's not cut it down yet, because let me take a little bit more time, a little bit more nurture, and I'll dig around it, work with the tree, work with us a little bit more, maybe add some manure, add some vitamins and minerals, and give it some tender, loving care. And if it still doesn't listen and bear fruit, well, then it's up to you. If you want to cut it down, it's up to you. So what we learn from all of these lessons is we need to be aware of God. We need to be content with who we are in and through God. And to listen, to notice what God wants from each and every one of us personally. And then realize that Jesus is always present to help us so that we can accomplish God's holy will. Loving Father, so many times I turn away.
Your powerful compassion for my weaknesses leads me to ask for mercy, and I await with great hope the Easter joy you share with us through Jesus Christ our Lord.